You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is Wednesday, August 31st. It's time for the Daily Lectionary, underwritten by Lutheran Federal Credit Union. The 31st, I have to say happy birthday to my niece, Tristan, and to my father-in-law, Roger. Fun birthday for both of them. 17 for my niece and 70 for my father-in-law. It's a fun day celebrating for everybody. It is time now to study God's Word. Our guest pastor today, Pastor Joshua Lowe from Trinity Lutheran Church in Blue Hill, Nebraska. Welcome back, Pastor Lowe.
Great to be with you today.
I always love studying God's Word with you. I can always hear your smile as we're studying God's Word. So thanks for being our guest this morning, Pastor. What's going on at Trinity Lutheran Church in Blue Hill, Nebraska?
It's raining. I think I woke up in Florida. It's a beautiful day here in Nebraska. We have had much rain in our state, but not in Blue Hill. We live in a little bit of a desert. We've had 7 inches this week, so sometimes God multiplies his blessings and they come all at one time. So,
well, thanks be to God for the rain that waters and nourishes the earth. And wow. Well, we'll see what kind of fall that makes.
Yeah, exactly.
What kind of colors of the leaves that brings about.
Right.
Well, we are in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 today, is that right? Verses 1 through 15. What would you like for us to know, Pastor, as we prepare to study this?
Paul's doing some kind of bookwork here. He's making sure that the congregation at Corinth is ready to give their offering. He's been bragging about them, boasting in the work that they have been doing to gather this offering for the saints in Jerusalem, and he's making sure they're ready to go. He's sending a delegation. That's what happened in chapter 8. He announced the delegation would be coming. And to me, he's kind of making sure that all the paperwork's ready to go, the offering's actually being gathered in so that when they arrive, they can take it with them to Jerusalem. He's actually doing a little bit different in his writing style. Normally, we hear him proclaim the gospel and then give some instruction and exhortation. So he actually begins in this section, this chapter, with exhortation, already began in chapter 8. And then he gets into some instruction about gospel giving in the latter part of chapter 9.
All right, let's dig in. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 is what we're studying with Pastor Lowe at Trinity Lutheran Church in Blue Hill, Nebraska. If you have a question or a comment, listener lines are open, 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1. Oh, and the email address, kfuo@kfuo.org. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 1. Now, it is superfluous for me to write to you about the ministry for the saints, for I know your readiness, of which I boast about you to the people of Macedonia, saying that Achaia has been ready since last year, and your zeal has stirred up most of them. But I am sending the brothers so that our boasting about you may not prove empty in this matter, so that you may be ready as I said you would be. Otherwise, if some Macedonians come with me and find that you are not ready, we would be humiliated, to say nothing of you, for being so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to go on ahead to you and arrange in advance for the gift you have promised, so that it may be ready as a willing gift, not an exaction. All right, it would be superfluous for me to write about you to the write about the ministry for the saints.
The Corinthians have already heard about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Paul has been writing to them about the needs of the saints, and they have agreed to make sure that they will contribute to this. They have made a promise to him that they will have an offering. And so in some ways, Paul is saying, you know, we've already talked about this. It's something that's not new to you. We're going to make sure that it's carried out now, and so be ready. And you know how this works. You know you've been very active in love and active in serving all of God's people throughout this region, and now we're going to take this specific task of gathering the offering to the saints in Jerusalem.
For I know your readiness, of which I boast about you to the people of Macedonia, saying that Achaia has been ready since last year, and your zeal has stirred up most of them. I love some zeal that stirs up people.
Yeah, so they've been actually very ready for this. Keep in mind that Macedonian churches are Philippi and Thessalonica. They're actually pretty close as far as geography goes to Achaia, the Greek region in the area. And so there's reason to be excited about this. This is sort of neighboring churches in action together. And we always want to keep in mind with St. Paul, when he talks about boasting, it's not necessarily in their works, but their works that are produced by faith. It is Christ that is the reason for our boasting, and Christ that has been proclaimed both in Macedonia and in Corinth, and is being the fruit that's bearing from this good news is what he's talking about. So it's always back to Christ. That's what St. Paul does. And the zeal that's produced from the gospel going out is really the joy of the Corinthians and the joy of St. Paul to see the church working.
But I am sending the brothers so that our boasting about you may not prove empty in this matter, so that you may be ready as I said you would be.
Yeah, so he's sending this delegation led by Titus and probably Luke and a couple others that are familiar to the Corinthians, and they're going to be the ones who will take the actual physical offering to the saints in Jerusalem. Currently, they're undergoing a famine. By the way, they've been waiting for this collection for at least a year now and probably more, so you can imagine that the suffering in that region is great and their needs are great, and so it's important that this be done and taken through to them.
Otherwise, if some Macedonians come with me and find that you're not ready, we would be humiliated to say nothing of you for being so confident.
Yeah. There's nothing like a pastor promising that his congregation will do something and that it doesn't happen. That's, of course, never happened in our congregation. But I can imagine that in some degree, in a very human way, Paul wants to make sure that he and the Macedonians aren't embarrassed when they come and find that they're not ready to go. I think we should probably understand this as great pastoral care, as well as sort of maybe admonishment to, you know, this is a great thing. Let's all be ready for it, and let's make sure that it happens so that people aren't offended and people aren't wounded and so that it gets done. So
sure, clear communication beforehand so there aren't any unmet expectations. So
yeah,
cut
exactly.
Off guard.
Well, and this is kind of a budgetary item, if you will. Oftentimes congregations include mission projects in their budgets, so Paul's making sure that they're able to follow through on what they've agreed already that they would do.
So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to go on ahead to you and arrange in advance for the gift you had promised so that it may be ready as a willing gift, not an exaction.
Yeah, so even though he's kind of admonished them in this way to make sure everything's ready, he's already gone ahead and sent the delegation. So they're already on their way. And when they read this letter, presumably, given when the delegation comes, they'll have already had time to gather everything together, and so that saints in Jerusalem don't have to wait, they'll be able to get it given to them. Exaction is not a word that I use on a regular basis, but the idea is behind it is greed or covetousness. So you don't want to look like you're greedy and withholding what you could give to the saints, especially when this delegation comes. Especially because you know already what the importance of it is and how the people are needing this gift and how you're able to provide it. So to not give would give the impression, at least, that the Corinthians are being fairly greedy in their understanding of what God has given in his gifts.
Pastor, anything else up through verse 5?
Nope. I think the best way maybe to think about this section is to think about a pledge promise. So maybe you've been contacted by Worldwide KFUO for a donation. And I don't know if this is actually how you guys do it. But you receive this letter in the mail and says you've made a contribution or a promise, a pledge of $25 to this organization, and we're sending you that reminder pledge card so that you can fill it out and then enclose your check. And to help things through, we we sent you an envelope, and so that you can surely get it in the mail. Some organizations may even put a stamp on that envelope, but nevertheless, the promise has been made. This is the delivery of the promise. Get it in, send it in, please, so that everything is accountable and you made good on the promise that you made.
All right, let's take a look at verse 6. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. We'll go on to the quote here in just a minute. So the point is, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully.
He is now moved into a section on the theology or instruction about the nature of giving itself. And so to do that, he's going to use a number of themes that will be familiar to the people. A lot of these themes come especially from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 22:8 is kind of going to be the key verse in understanding these sections. People would have heard this probably before. Whoever sows injustice will reap calamity. So this idea of sowing and reaping is something that's familiar throughout all of the scriptures, especially in the book of Exodus, when we talk about the people of God prior to settling in and settling into the promised land, sowing and reaping the harvest of grain. But also with that comes the reminder that this is done out of faith. So this sowing of generosity comes from a recognition of God, who is the creator, who is the giver of all things, something we always need a reminder about, especially living in such an age of materialism, that everything we have is God's. Everything from our own personal effects on our body, from socks and shoes and all those kinds of things, to the very basic things of life that we often take for granted. We should be people who are recognizing the generosity of God, who has given all these things in our life, but also to know that we should be very comfortable and very eager and active in using these gifts as we share them with other people, since they're not ours. So we're stewards, given to take care of something that is not our possession, but the Lord's.
All right. So each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver.
Yeah, here's the kind of the heart verse of this section, and probably the most familiar verse. It's probably even printed on your offering envelope every Sunday, just to remind you of the motivation behind giving. This is a little bit different for the people of God. They would have, in the Old Testament, been a lot more familiar with a very structured, we might even say legalistic giving of 10% or something like that. A lot of Christians today still adopt that pattern. But sometimes we have more to give, and we have the opportunity to give more, and we should do that if we can and are able to, out of faith in our Lord, for all that he's done for us. And sometimes in life, we're just simply not able to give as we'd like to give. And so we have to give in a different way, maybe with time, maybe with our talents and abilities, maybe with something like that, as opposed to a monetary gift. Younger people tend to not be able to give as those who are a retirement age. And that's just reality for life. And so Paul wants to make sure that they don't understand this in terms of the law, but rather in terms of the gospel. You have been given to, so now you are freely give. The word cheerfully is a wonderful word. It really kind of gets the idea behind joyous and blessed. And the Greek word really is actually hilarion, or hilarios, yeah, because that's where we get the word hilarious, you know. The idea here is that you're just overcome with joy, that you give generously out of the abundance that God gives you into the world, this doesn't make a lot of sense. The world sees giving as something that's at times an obligation. You have to do this. It looks good on your taxes. You can get a nice, safe tax return, voucher here that you've given this much, and whew, you get a little bit off the top. That's not how Christians are to understand this. This is joyous giving. You've been given not only God's creation, but you've been given the gospel free. You've done nothing to earn it or achieve it on your own. It's all been God's generosity to you and great gift. And how can we not joyfully and wonderfully and even in the eyes of the world be hilarious in our giving? It just doesn't make sense that we act this way. And yet our old Adam is always going to want to try to control that. So we have to live in this constant battle with ourselves.
We're studying the Daily Lectionary with Pastor Joshua Lowe from Trinity Lutheran Church in Blue Hill, Nebraska. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 today. If you have a question or a comment, listener lines are open. 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727. The email address, kfuo@kfuo.org. We'll be back in just a minute. Colossians 3:23 says, "Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men." Kelly Schumacher, artist and founder of Agnus Dei Liturgical Arts, offers group and private lessons in classical art education that focus on Old Masters oil painting techniques and drawing that glorify God and are based on the fundamental principles of art and art history. Youth and adult lessons are available. AgnusDeiArts.com. That's AgnusDeiArts.com.
Our weekly schedule for Law and Gospel means that on Tuesdays, we examine the hymn for the coming Sunday. With the help of Pastor Mark Smith, I, Tom Baker, will take a look as to which readings the hymn is referring to. It will be most interesting.
Listen to Law and Gospel weekday mornings beginning at 9:30 on KFUO.
You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. We are studying the Daily Lectionary, underwritten by Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Our guest pastor today, Pastor Joshua Lowe from Trinity Lutheran Church in Blue Hill, Nebraska. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Pastor, anything else up through verse 8 before we go on to verse 9?
No, I think we're good to go.
As it is written, He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. All right, let's go back to this quote. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever.
Paul quotes from Psalm 112, verse 9. He wants to make sure that the people understand what this is about. This is about God and his gifts, God and his giving to us, and our response to those gifts, but also our active faith in response to this gift. So faith is both passive and active. God saves us. That's passive work, but it's also active and love and service to our neighbor. And oftentimes these deeds of faith, these generous actions, have powerful effects and actually may even carry on into years to come without our knowledge or perhaps with our intention to as the Lord has given us to provide for further generations. And so God sees into our hearts and sees our generous giving, and it bears fruit.
He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness.
With these words, Paul is really talking about the fact that God is really the controller, the generator, the author of this process, and he carries it out from beginning to end, both giving the seed, the actual seed that's planting into the ground, and then the actual bread that comes as a fruit of that seed, as a product of the seed, being ground into flour and kneaded into dough and then baked. So that whole process, God is the author of, and the results of that work are more than we can imagine in our little part of the world, and our giving and generosity. There's more at work in those kinds of things than we are able to see at times, and actually includes a harvest of righteousness as the Lord works in us and through us in the world. And this just doesn't have to do with giving. This is the whole work of God's salvation throughout the world. It is a marvel to us that God is both the beginning and the end of all of that process. And we rejoice in that. We rejoice that we get to participate in it in some small and sometimes, in the eyes of the world, an insignificant way. But yet, God is at work in us, in our daily lives, in our daily work, vocations, callings, to really do something magnificent in his eyes. And it's a great thing to witness and see and be part of.
You will be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God.
Yeah, so God's going to make it happen. And you are enriched. We have actually enriched flour. So God is going to provide you everything in life, both your material needs and in your spiritual needs. And everything is just going to come from him, and everything will work out according to his good pleasure. Now, that doesn't mean, by the way, that life is easy or that we will avoid sufferings and anything like that. But a great product of God's care for us is the thanksgiving we have to God. So we can give generously because we've been given to. God has truly given so much to us that we are able to give generously. When I think of this section, Luther writes a lot in the Psalms about thanksgiving, and he talks about how we can see even in nature God giving and providing through us and in other ways. He talks about how the sow, the pig, always knows from whence his or her meal comes from. So they gather at the fence, and they see the mistress coming with a bucket of slop, and that pig will follow you anywhere because they know from whom they receive their food and their provision. And he talks about how if pigs can do this, we should surely be able to, and that thanksgiving is really the heart and center of the gospel and what God has done for us. In fact, he says that the greatest way to quench the gospel light is to be ungrateful and to not recognize God as the giver of all these things. And he's very serious about the fact that thanksgiving plays a major role in our life of faith. And when it stops, there's a great danger for our own faith. And we can see this in individuals' lives, but also in congregation lives, and maybe even in the wider church. Sometimes we really get focused on ourselves or our own situations or the ho-hum world around us, and we forget, you know, God is still working, God is still doing, God is still providing, and we should be a lot more like pigs.
For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God.
Yeah, like I said, it's a whole physical and spiritual process, and it's just happening. And God is the author of it, and it's great to see it at work in our lives. And and really rejoice in that.
By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you.
One of the things that we should recognize also for this is that it's going to have a great the Corinthians are having a great opportunity. In fact, all of the Gentile world has now a great opportunity to witness what Christ has done for them by giving this gift to the Jewish people, the Christian converts from Judaism in the homeland, Judea and Jerusalem. And so they're going to see through the generosity of the saints at Corinth and in Macedonia that God is really at work, that God has not abandoned them, that God is providing for them, that God is, in fact, very active in caring for their daily bread, their daily needs through this offering. But also, this is what it means to now live in Christ as one people of God. Yes, Jews and Gentiles distinctly in their ethnicities and origins, but now, as one people of God who are now in Jesus Christ, receivers of God's favor and grace and compassion and mercy and forgiveness and life. And so this mission work has results and, consequences far beyond just the money and far beyond just the offering that's given. This is human relations as well as monetary giving. This is the church at work, and this is now forming in the Judean Christians an idea that God has now brought in a great gift in the Gentile Christians who are now their brothers and sisters through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift.
Yeah, here we get back to being pigs again, and just recognizing that God is the giver of all good things. My stewardship program a couple years ago was pig-headed stewards. it was a fast-burning seller on CPH's list. No, I'm just kidding. But the idea that, you know, we have so much to be grateful for, and God is the center of all things. Paul's gone full circle really here, beginning with God as the giver, the creator, supplying our needs, and Jesus Christ for our salvation. And you just can't help but see in these words Paul's great joy, his cheerfulness, but also the reality that it all comes down to gratitude and thanksgiving, really recognizing God as the giver and investing your time, talent, and treasure in that because you recognize God is the giver of it, and without it, we have nothing. And just the great joy of being a hilarious giver and all in thanks and praise to God. It's to his glory. It's all his work. We're just joyful to be able to participate in it, that God has done it for me, and thanks be to God. When I was growing up, my grandpa always said, when I would thank him for a Christmas gift or something like that, don't thank me, thank the good Lord I was able to. And I think that's kind of a good theme for this whole section, is to thank God for the work that he's able to do through us at times and rejoice we get to be part of it.
Looking over the text as a whole, Pastor, anything else you'd like for us to learn from 2 Corinthians chapter 9 today?
No, I think we've really covered everything.
Well, thanks, Pastor. It's great to study God's Word with you. I always enjoy our time together in the Word. And
thank you.
God bless you and all the saints at Trinity Lutheran Church in Blue Hill, Nebraska.
Thank you, and God bless you all, too.
Thanks. Coming up in just a little bit, Witness Wednesday, we'll revisit one of the early days in Witness Wednesday. Go back to 2014. Pastor Wood is out teaching and training many of us in this lassie approach to witnessing, to being faithful witnesses of God's great love for us in Jesus. Hope you can stick around for that coming up in just a few minutes. Maybe a song or two just to brighten your morning here in the moment. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.